easy for me so far. 1 and 3 of 593. Here I am, Lord. I should make it early so I can get on with it, right? Okay, next, someone else with a favorite?
382.
And verses?
1 and 2.
382. Have thine own way, Lord. Selection 526. Verses Which verses, or are there verses?
1 and 3.
One more. Yes? 359? 369. And verses 1 and 3. Continue with our service.
Thank you, Diane. Absolutely beautiful. Puts you in the spirit of worship. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. Oh, my goodness. I can't resist but to recognize a long-lost friend and members of the church, Bill. Great to see you both, and I'm blanking on your dear wife's name. Robin, sorry so much. Thank you, but anyway, I looked out there, and as I saw the glow, the halos, and I couldn't resist. But welcome back. I hope it's for a long visit, but I know it's probably just for one Sunday. But thank you so much for being here. Two? Excellent. Great. My apologies for that.
Be aware the roof may come down.
Well, Bill's here. He could fix it. Anyway, my apologies. I got distracted there. But anyway, for our announcements this morning, first, of course, please find the red booklet in the pew, either end of it. Please sign in your attendance. We always like to keep track of your attendance here at church. And we'll move to our announcements. And first of all, of course, is our March birthdays, our Shamrock-infused birthdays. So please, we have Cheryl, Becky, Rachel, Destiny, Alicia, Jennifer, Jan, and Denise. And happy birthday to you all. Do we have anybody here that is celebrating a March birthday? All right, we'll just wish them everybody the very best of birthdays. Also, our March newsletter, as always, is available in the Narthex, and it's also available online if you'd like to read it there. Also, we do need contributions to support our two Common Hope sponsor children there in Guatemala, and any donations that can be provided to that effort is always greatly appreciated. Also, we have the Interfaith Community Support Center, ICSC, and they are in need of contributions of non-perishable food items. And that just again, another opportunity to support our community in a time of need. So please respond to that request as you can. Also, a reminder that the memorial service for Jerry Pugh will be coming up next Saturday. That's March 22nd at 1 p.m. here in the church. And also, we have coming up near the end of March our next Parents' Night Out. And that's March 28th from 6 to 8:30. And a great time if you have kids to bring the kids here if you want, as it clearly says, to have a night out. But it's an awful lot of fun for the kids and an opportunity for them to enjoy the church family here. That's all I have on our pre-approved. Any other announcements that have been missed? All right. In that case, if you'd please stand as you're able for our call to worship. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life.
Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life.
And if you'd please remain standing for our opening hymn, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand.
The promised land.
I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promise.
All who will come and go with me.
Oh, who will come and I'm bound for the promised land. Over all those wide extended plains, over all those wide extended plains, shine one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that hell for sure. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
And if you take just a couple moments to turn to your neighbors and pass the peace.
Deb. Hello, Deb.
We want to see the screen.
She did. We want to change the screen so that we can see the people on Zoom. Thanks so much.
All right, we're gonna start the music to kind of play you off like at the Oscars to go back to your seats. So,
I'd like to begin with the short announcement. The daycare center started cleaning things up, and Susan suggested that we may want to go see what the education building looked like. So I left the doors open. You may want to go see. I mean, there's actually not much to see in there, but it's clean, kind of. But if you see today, you may be able to see what they will have done about a month and a half or 2 months later. So if you like, you can go see the education building. Also, I received an email from Alita last night, and she said that Judy and Alita will not be here this morning because they are attending their aunt's Carol's celebration of life. service today. The Aunt Carol was their mother's younger sister who passed away in December. And Trudy fell and broke the humerus bone in her arm. I mean, we saw her on Wednesday over the luncheon, but that's what happened to her. And she was taken to the Redland Hospital, and she's back home and resting. And please hold Trudy in your prayer for healing. And Chris also told me that she was going to have a surgery on her throat, and she did, and she's back home and may not be able to talk for a few days, but they took a biopsy and hope that everything would be okay. So please hold Chris in your prayers as well.
At this time, we'll have your opportunity to share your joys and concerns with us. Just raise your hand and Deb will bring the mic to you.
I have two first. April Klein said that Bill has pneumonia, so please pray for Bill for healing and for strength, because he's got other surgery coming up too. And I got an email from Ron Park. Lorene went into the Eisenhower emergency room a few days ago, and they found a blood clot in her lung, so they're giving her medication to break it up, but I'm glad that they found it, because that would have been really bad if they didn't. Wow. The first x-ray didn't find it, and they ended up doing another one on her side that did. So pray for healing for Lorene and for that blood clot to dissolve well.
And I'm glad that they found it over there, because Eisenhower Hospital is the best place to be. That's amazing.
Anyone else?
I have both a joy and a concern all wrapped into one. I am changing phones. I'm going to a completely different phone and a different phone company and a different phone number, and this will be saving me one of the items in my monthly budget and saving money, because the new service is completely free to eligible seniors. So the phone number for me will no longer be the one in the directory at this time. Anybody who thinks they need to have my number, please come and ask me for it, and I'll give it to you, and it's a brand new number. Thank you.
Send it to me, and I'll put it in the
directory. While Deb's working toward back, let's welcome all those faithful worshipers. And on the Zoom right now, welcome Joyce and June, and Bill and April, Cheryl, George, Chris, Alicia, and we have a card to fill for her birthday. Oops. I'm sorry. I just leaked the secret. But anyway, the one thing that I'd like to share is if you haven't noticed, Alicia and Destiny's birthdays on the same day. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. I mean, Deb, when Deb told me, I said, was it why Alicia named her daughter Destiny? Because, you know, it was like a destiny that she was born on the same birthday. Well, anyway, happy birthday to Alicia again, and welcome Mark and Rocky with us this morning.
You may remember last Sunday I asked you to pray for my grandkids. Reagan turned 18 in New Mexico doing work on an Indian reservation, where they were painting a high school, doing odd jobs for these folks. But unfortunately, he was sick the whole time he was there. But he only missed out on a half a day of work, and they were able to go on a hike, which was really nice. It's pretty over there, but the reservation, the ground, as he said, is really bad. They can't grow anything. It's not a very good spot. But they did spend some time with the young people and cleaned up their cemetery for them and just did some odd jobs for them. So he was really happy that he was able to go, and he's going to go next year also when they have a mission trip. Now, Sarah is 15, and she went to Mexico. I don't know the name of the little town she was in, but they were very poor, And those kids put together a house in one day. It's not big, but they had to finish it, in which they did. And they worked a lot, and they worked hard. And they were using all these tools, the saws, the hammers, they used them all. And the house was very small, about 200 square feet. It was just had two bedrooms and a kitchen and an area where they had a couple of chairs, and that was it. No bathroom. There was no plumbing for that, but they put in electrical, so they had electricity. And they had two boys and a girl, and the mom. They built bunk beds for the boys in one bedroom, and they built a kitchen table for them. And then just before they left, they found out that they needed an outhouse, so they collected enough money before they left on the trip, and they also built them an outhouse. Mm. This was kind of an eye-opener for a 15-year-old who'd never seen anything like that. And so, but she said it was an amazing thing because the kids were very, very happy. The family was happy. And the 17-year-old cried because he'd never had a bed of his own, which is amazing, you know. So it was, Sarah was really happy that she went. I think she's going to go again next year. I don't know what they'll be doing, but then the thing that struck me was her comment about the family on how happy they were and the kids how happy they were. And she said they would just go out and find trash to play with. I mean, they didn't have anything. And yet they were happy. And she thinks about sometimes we're not so over here. And we have so much. And I think that she said, you know, we forget. You know how grateful we should be to God that we actually live here and have the things that we have. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because it was a blessing for them and an eye-opener for our young kids. Thank you.
My name is Pat Shores, and I just wanted to mention that you forgot one person's birthday today. Well, not today, but this month is my mother's birthday. She's born on the 24th. She served this church for many, 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 many years. She died quite a while ago, but I won't forget her birthday. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
This is Susan, and I have a joy. My sister Jill is down visiting me again this spring, and so it's always wonderful to have her here, and she enjoys coming to church as well.
Welcome. And I would like to ask for continued prayers for my daughter, Dawn. She's going through a really, really rough time. Thank you.
All right, if you'd please join with me in the unison prayer, and you can find on the screen or in the bulletin. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, when shadows of doubt cloud our gaze and the weight of tomorrow stirs our hearts, may we rest in grace of your presence, for you walk with us in every breath. May we be ever mindful of your nearness and remain steadfast in the faith until the day you call us home, where light eternal meets our eyes. You are the one who was, who is, and who will forever be, our immovable anchor and hope for the new Jerusalem. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. God has placed many in our life circle that we can be like Christ to them, share the love of Christ with them, and continue our spiritual nurture for them. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, in our prayers, we acknowledge our need of you. We need you every moment of our life. We cannot comprehend our life without you, O Lord. You have been with us all along upon our journey. You are the one who has guided us, provided for us, and led us this far. And we will continue on with your presence in our lives. Our prayers is a humble acknowledgement that our loved ones need you, O Lord. We have many life circumstances that await answers from you and your power. So we ask you to touch us, touch our heart, touch our body, touch our life, touch our loved ones, that we may experience your living presence once more. Sometimes, O Lord, troubles block our sight that we cannot see you. And we need your touch to remove this dark curtain off from our path that we may see you clearly, that we may gain confidence and assurance in your loving care and continue on. So our hearts are open unto you and unto your Holy Spirit, that you may come in and move within us, feel us, and touch us, that we may experience your living presence once more. So we lift up our prayers, O Lord, our prayers for our loved ones, for ourselves, for you know where we are in life, you know what we need and what our loved ones need. Have mercy upon us and show us your power, your presence, your grace, your guidance once more. In spite of troubles, O Lord, we know that you are our sovereign God. You have everything under your control. So we yield to you, yield to your power and your plan that you have for us, and pray that you continue to use us. You continue to fulfill your will through this church, in this community, in this country, and in the world today. So we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is The Fish Who Found the Sea by Alan Watts, illustrated by Koa Lee. Once upon a time, there was a fish who lived in the great sea, and because he was just an ordinary fish who had never known anything outside the great sea, he was not really aware that he was in it. He swam up and down and around without ever noticing that he was moving through the water, for the water was transparent. Whenever he moved, it got out of the way of his nose and yet gave him something against which he could push with his tail so to move himself along. Without it, he could neither swim nor live, but for all he knew, he might as well have been moving in empty space. Then one day, something peculiar happened to him. He began to think how curious it was that he could swim, for here he was, moving up and down, around in the midst of nothing at all by his own power. This, he thought, was surely very clever of himself. And then something else happened. You know how it is when you start thinking about something you do automatically, such as breathing or riding a bike, and you begin to get confused. It was the same with this fish. He began to get confused in his swimming. Looking down into the waters below him, he was suddenly terrified at the thought that he might forget how to swim altogether and go plunging forever into the darkness. At that moment, all his skill at swimming left him, and he began to fall. He realized then that there was just one chance of saving himself, to grab hold of his own tail with his mouth and hold himself up. At once he curled up and made a snap at his tail. Unfortunately, his spine was not quite supple enough and he missed. Not yet discouraged, he tried again and again with the same result, so that for some time he whizzed around in circles in frantic pursuit of his own end. The faster he chased his tail, the faster it moved away. This had been going on for some time when he began to realize that he was not getting anywhere and that his life was becoming dull, meaningless, and horribly monotonous. But he was much too frightened to stop. The fish was sure that if he relaxed the chase for a moment, he would plunge headlong into the abyss, and so he redoubled his efforts to save himself, in spite of the fact that he became more and more tired and disgusted every minute. Soon, he saw that he was in a hideous dilemma. He must either fall into the abyss or go on chasing his tail. Both alternatives were equally horrifying. He waved his fins in panic and prepared to die. In the meantime, the great sea had been watching this extraordinary behavior with mixed feelings of amusement and sorrow. For the great sea was as loving as it was vast. It gave all the creatures of the deep room to live and swim around. It never intruded upon them, always retiring generously before their noses and letting itself be pushed by their tails so they can move along. Still more, the great sea always surrounded them in such a way that it bore them up, made itself transparent so that they could see where they were going and enjoy all the wonders of the deep. Yet here was a crazy fish who thought he swam all by himself, who had gotten himself into a panic and was behaving as no fish should behave. Therefore, the great sea called out to the unhappy fish and asked him, "What do you think you're doing?" To which the fish replied, "I'm trying to catch hold of my tail and save myself from falling." "You have been doing that for a long time," observed the great sea, "and you are no nearer to catching it than when you started. So why haven't you fallen yet?" "Don't bother me," retorted the fish. "Can't you see that I'm busy?" "That's just what I can see," the great sea went on patiently. "But apparently you can't. You haven't caught your tail, you haven't fallen into the abyss, and yet you're still busy. How come?" "Oh, don't be stupid," snapped the fish. "Of course I haven't fallen down because I'm swimming." "You may well say goodness," said the great sea, "for how does it happen that you have stayed afloat and been able to swim during all this absurd performance?" This was too much for the fish. He stopped his chase and looked around to see who was talking to him. There was no one to be seen, and it was strange, but although he wasn't doing anything himself, he was still floating in the water, though it seemed to him as if he were suspended in empty space by some invisible force. "There now," continued the great sea, "you thought you were doing it all by yourself, and you never knew that I hold you up all the time. I have given all of myself to you, and yet you have forgotten me and wasted yourself in pursuing your own end. For it is in me that you live and swim and are able to be a fish, and to you that I have given the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of myself in which to swim." From that moment, the fish was happier than any other fish in all the waters of the world. Setting his own end behind him, where it belonged, he set out to explore the ends of the sea. And he found that wherever he moved, up or down, to the right or to the left, wherever the great sea expanded before him and supported him, so much so that he swooped and climbed and danced in joy, a creature in his true element, out of himself and into the sea, where indeed he had been all the time. The end. When we take a breath in, we breathe in the Spirit of God, and he becomes part of us. He is what keeps us alive. So for every breath we take, may God permeate our being. May we be aware of his presence. Amen.
Amen. And you may remain seated for our next hymn, which is Abide With Me, number 700. Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. And it's titled, The Watchful Slaves. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves, to give them their allowance for food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put the one in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk,
The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. That slave who knew what his master wanted, but did not prepare himself or do what was wanted, will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved deserved a beating will receive a light beating. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required, and from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in here in this beautiful sanctuary, worshiping together. It is always wonderful to see you here and worship together. I had a visit from one of the contractors who was looking into some repair works in the church, and he never been to this church. And when he stepped into the sanctuary, he said, "I can feel the presence." And I said, "Well, you are not the only one. I have heard a lot of people say that." So it is a special feeling in here, not just being here, but worship together. And I pray that we will experience God's presence in many unique ways. God talking to us and touching us through His Holy Spirit this morning. A man was passing a pet shop when he saw a talking monkey advertised for sale. He was so impressed by its vocabulary that he bought it on the spot. That evening, he took it to his local bar and bet everyone $10 that the monkey could talk. A dozen people accepted the challenge, but despite his new owner's coaxing, the monkey refused to say a word, and the man had to pay up. When he got it home, the man was puzzled to hear the monkey chatting away merrily. The next morning, the man returned to the bar and bet everyone $20 that the monkey could talk. Again, there were plenty of takers, but to man's disappointment, the monkey remained silent. After paying up, the man took the monkey outside. "I'm taking you back to the shop," he stormed. "You are a complete waste of money." "Chill out," said the monkey. "Think of the art we'll get tomorrow." The man might have found himself in a dilemma, torn between the temptation to place one last bet on the irrational monkey and the hope of recouping his losses. The monkey had yet to speak in public, and there was no guarantee that it ever would. If the monkey remained silent, his losses would deepen. If it spoke, there was a chance of profit. The odds seemed perfectly balanced, 50-50. We call it a probability. Probability is a tool employed by rational minds to assess uncertainty. But what then is the probability of Jesus' return to this earth? His second coming has not yet occurred. Will it happen? Many, like the man deliberating over his wager, might reason that there is a 50-50 chance of Christ's return. In Jesus' parable, the servants, in a sense, treated the master's delay as a similar probability. would he return tonight or tomorrow. Yet their miscalculation did them no good. It led instead to moral corruption and an unprepared heart, leaving them unfit to receive their master. This morning, we will reflect on the very nature of the second advent and the lifestyle Jesus calls believers to adopt in anticipation of his return. First and foremost, in his parable, Jesus leaves no room for doubt regarding his second coming. Throughout his ministry, Jesus taught that faith was a prerequisite for healing and salvation. However, when speaking of his return, he did not require faith as a condition to accept it. Why? Because his second coming is not a matter of belief, but an undeniable certainty. The parable itself hints at this. The servant never questioned whether the master would return. Their error lay in misjudging the timing. As the passage states, the servant said to himself, "My master is taking a long time in coming." The servants expected the master's return. His downfall was in assuming he had time to indulge in reckless living. Thus, the question is not whether Christ will return, but whether we will be found ready when he does. The parable we read this morning is just one among many teachings in which Jesus spoke of his second advent. Entire chapters, Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Matthew 25, are devoted to the signs of the end times and parables concerning his return. Consequently, the second coming of Christ was a central theme in the preaching of the early church leaders. The book of Revelation further expands on what to expect when that day arrives. The second advent is a fundamental Christian doctrine as affirmed in the Apostles' Creed. He ascended into heaven, and it is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come the quick and the dead. The word quick originates from Old English, quick, C-W-I-C, meaning alive or living. While today the word quick conveys speed, it also serves as a poignant reminder of how fleeting our lives are. When Scripture speaks of Christ judging the quick and the dead, it implies that many who are alive at that time will witness his return, and his return could very well happen within our lifetime. If that's the case, are there visible signs of his return in the world today? This morning, I want to focus on one particular prophecy found in Revelation 13. Let me read from the verses 16 through 18 of that chapter. "The second beast forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had a mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This call for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. You have heard of this prophecy before and perhaps wondered what it truly means. What is the beast? What is the mark that dictates commerce? What is the significance of 666? I'll share with you what I have learned, but I urge you to remember that this is only one interpretation among many. Throughout history, scholars and theologians have sought to decode the meaning of 666, offering various explanations. One widely held view is that the number refers to the Roman Emperor Nero. When his name, Nero Caesar, is written in Hebrew, the numerical value of each letter adds up to 666. As for the mark of the beast in relation to trade, historical records show that during the first through third centuries, the Roman Empire used an imperial seal on official documents. Beginning from Nero, who ruled between 54 and 68 AD, and continuing through Emperor Decius, who ruled between 249 and 251 AD, those who refused to possess a certificate of sacrifice to Caesar were prohibited from engaging in commerce. Others interpret 666 as a reference to Muhammad, where his name is transliterated into Greek as Maometis. Its numerical value also sums to 666. Some even claim that Muhammad did not die in 632, but in 666 AD, and that Muslims controlled the Holy Land for exactly 666 years. These interpretations, though intriguing, remain speculative. The symbolism in Revelation is complex, and its meaning has been debated for centuries. What is certain, however, is that Jesus warned us to be watchful and prepared. His return is not a question of it, of if, but when. And the true question we must ask ourselves is, are we ready? Several years ago, I read a book that argued that the numerical value of the word computer adds up to 666. The author claimed that a supercomputer in Brussels, the heart of the European Union, had the capability to assign a unique identification number to every individual on the planet. They call the computer the beast. Today, with the rapid advancement of computer technology and the global reach of the internet, buying and selling through digital IDs, whether via credit card or QR code or biometric verification, has become possible. I have even heard of people tattooing QR code onto their arms to avoid the hassle of carrying identification or payment card. The tech industry continues to push boundaries, developing wearable screens and embedded computer devices. These advancements make it increasingly feasible for commercial transactions and travel to be conducted through markings or implanted technology. Something that seemed unimaginable just a decade ago. I'm not a tech savvy or anything like that, but when I was in Riverside about, close to 20 years ago, I said to my congregation, you know, there will be a time coming that you don't have to carry a car key with you, that the technology will be so advanced that if you just bring car key in your pocket, you don't have to take it out. You just go close to the car will recognize and open the door, and then you just go into the car and push the button. You don't have to put the key in, the car will start. you know what their response was? Baloney. But you know, this today is really happening. And it's even more. You know, there's even auto self-drive. They are even operating in big cities like LA and San Francisco. Are these the signs of the end times? Perhaps. Do we know exactly when Jesus will return? No, just as the disciples did not. But one thing is certain. His return is closer today than when we first believed. What should our attitude be toward the second coming? Jesus provided clear and practical guidance to his disciples. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. In other words, live in constant state of preparedness, for the timing of his return is unknown to all. Rather than speculating on dates and signs, Jesus calls us to remain faithful, alert, and ready to meet him at any moment. Patrick O'Driscoll contributed an article under the title of Avalanche Sends Travelers Tumbling in USA Today in January 20, 2007. And it goes like this. When Dave Boom first saw the avalanche that swept his car over a guardrail on Interstate 40 in Denver, Colorado, it was only a puff of powder. But after that brief warning, a snowy burst of wind knocked the car out of control. Not even a second later, a freight train hit us, Boom said. Boone had been traveling with his wife, June, and Gary Martinez, 13, on their way to a youth group ski trip. The three of them had been discussing the possibility of an avalanche. We were talking about avalanches and how there were so much snow and stuff. Then we turned the corner and saw some white powder, and it slammed us into the guardrail, Boone said. The wall of snow knocked the car over the rail and caused it to roll hundreds of feet down the steep mountain slope. In the middle of the descent, the car struck a tree and was knocked out of the avalanche's grasp. It came to a stop upside down, pointing back uphill. Fortunately, Boone and his wife were all trained. After clearing an airway and freeing himself from the seatbelt, Boone was able to exit the car along with Martinez and then cut his wife free from her restraint. Despite several bumps, bruises, and scrapes, none of the three required hospitalization. For Boone, the experience was a reminder of warnings and hints of danger need to be respected. The signs read, avalanche area, no stopping, he said. We've been driven by that place hundreds of times. We've skied avalanche chutes, worn beepers, always carry an avalanche shovel. We've seen avalanches, but in our wildest dreams, we never imagined getting hit in a car by one. Boone's readiness for the avalanche saved their lives, just as our spiritual readiness will save ours. Imagine how convenient it would have been for the servants in Jesus' parable if they had known exactly when the master was returning. They could have slept soundly and woken up just in time to appear diligent. But that would have made them mere opportunists, not truly faithful servants. God does not desire opportunities. He seeks those who are steadfast and devoted in every moment of their life. In my opinion, faithfulness and vigilance are one and the same in biblical terms. Whether Jesus returned today or 1,000 years from now makes no difference to those who live daily in his presence. Our call is to remain spiritually awake, our lamps burning, our heart at peace with God. We are not waiting in fear or uncertainty. We are ready. Ready to meet the living God at any moment, not because we know the time of his return, but because we walk with him faithfully every day. Amen.
Just a reminder, if you have brought your tithes or offerings today, that you may leave them at the back of the church in the offering plates. Also, you may send them into the church or bring them by the church office to drop them off. And as always, thank you all for your continued support of the church.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. source of all our griefs. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Whenever we stand before your cross, O Lord, we are so grateful. And out of the gratitude and thanksgiving, O Lord, we give you this offering, acknowledging what you did for us in Calvary. So receive our thankfulness and bless our Lord, that it may be used and we may be a contributor of building your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you'd please remain standing for our closing hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, number 71.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grave to rest the sword. He has loosed the faithful lining of his terrible sweet sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching on. There shall never come. He is shifting out the roots of men before his judgment seat. Though be stripped my soul to answer him, he's moving on my feet. For God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia.
Pray, Lord, we live in your undeniable presence every moment of our life. So, Lord, help us be faithful to your presence, to your guidance, to your will here and now, that we may faithfully commit ourselves to fulfill your will as long as we are here on this earth. So, Lord, we rededicate ourselves to you and to your service, and we ask you to bless us as we go from here, that we may be faithful disciples to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Reach out to others, so all.
Oh.